We said, this is our third message around that little word, more. Our first message 2 weeks ago was entitled, So Much the More. It's taken out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And it says there that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but so much the more. As you see the day approaching, and as we said, and I've said many times, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the closer we get to the rapture of the church, it's not a time for less church, it's a time for more church. And we talked, we gave 3 points that night. We said, it's not a time for less publishing the good news, it's a time for so much the more. Publishing the good news, keeping on yourself gospel tracts, keeping in your car gospel tracts, having that New Testament on you as you're in the line somewhere, getting in a word for Christ. It's not the time to be quiet. That's what's got our country in the spiritual mess that it's in. Amen. Believers being quiet. Amen. Saying, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen to me. The gospel is offensive. It's offensive. It just is. It confronts people with their sin personally. And that's offensive, Brother Jim. Amen. No, you say, well, I just think, you know, you ought to live in such a way so as to show Jesus in your life. And listen, I don't disagree with you. But you know what? You have to tell people. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says. So we talked about it's a day for so much the more publishing the good news. You know what else it is? It's a day for so much the more beseeching the good Savior. And we talked about blind Bartimaeus, how he was on the road and Jesus passed by and he said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he said, be quiet. Just be quiet. He's busy. Amen. But that wasn't enough for him. He yelled and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, it's time for more praying. It's time for more praying, amen. It's not time to just pray one time, say, well, God, you didn't answer my prayer. Keep praying, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, amen. And then we talked about it's a time for so much the more attending the good place. I ought to be in church. Listen, I'm preaching to the choir. It's Wednesday night. You're in church, amen. But we ought to be in church every time the hinges squeak. Every time the lights are on, amen. Every time the heat's on, just be here. As the old preacher used to say, get under the spout where the glory comes out, amen. Be around God's people. I get encouraged when I'm around God's people. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Last week we preached on those two little words in Romans chapter 5, much more. Much more. And we learned in Romans chapter 5 that because of His love, we gain much more of His government. And we talked about how, praise God, we're not governed by the law. You know, when we're governed by the law, the best we can get is a fair trial. But when we're governed by His love, we get a free pardon. I like that better. Amen. And so, not only much more His government, but much more of His goodness. And remember, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it was His goodness that allowed Him to die on the cross in our place. And we get much more of it. We get much more of His gift as well, the free gift. Our gift from our father Adam was death. But our gift from God the Father is Jesus Christ, and that is eternal life. Thank God. Amen. Not only do we get His gift and goodness and government, but we get to partake of His glory. We will reign with Him. Now, to be honest with you, Brother Harmon, still a hard thing to even think about. That I will reign with Jesus Christ. Why? Why do you say that, Pastor? Because I'm made of the same stuff you are. And to think that in all my frailty and mortality and sin, that I'll reign with Jesus Christ. But you know what? We won't have frailty. And we won't have mortality. And we won't have sin. Because we'll share of His glory. Amen. And then lastly, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And we talked about it. Listen, as far as sin could reach down, the well of grace goes deeper. Thank God for that. Amen. So much the more. And then much more last week in this phrase here. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. About middle of the verse there, it says that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Over to verse 10, it tells us at the end of the verse there, it says, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Paul founded the church at Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. You can read about it in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. He left Timothy there, and Timothy rejoined Paul, and he brought a good report of this church. Paul taught in both of the epistles of Thessalonians on Christ's return. And he confronted a couple things about Christ's return. The first was a lack of industry until Christ's return. See, even back then, Brother Abe, they had people that just wanted to go up on a mountainside and stand there and wait. That's not what he told us to do. Come on, church, amen. He told us to occupy until I come, amen. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord cometh. So he dealt with these people that were just simply waiting. But he was also dealt with the false doctrine that Jesus had already come. That's why when you read later in the chapter that we're not to sorrow as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so he will bring the dead with him. See, the dead in Christ, folks, are going to rise first. They're going to. Why, Pastor? Well, the Bible says so. It says they're going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Paul, dealing with the return of Christ here. And if you look at the chapter, it's easily outlined, just the book of 1 Thessalonians. You see Paul's introduction in chapter 1, verse 1. You see personal reflection in chapter 1, verse 2 through chapter 3, verse 13. You see in our text, practical exhortation in chapter 4, verse 1 to 5:22. In chapter 5, you get all those little one what I call one-hit wonders, amen? You've got abstain from all appearance of evil, rejoice evermore, in everything give thanks. These little practical exhortations. And then in verses 23 through 28 of chapter 5, you have a parting benediction. But I want you to notice this phrase, ladies and gentlemen. It's the bookends of our two verses tonight. More and more. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me tonight. We are to be growing in grace. Christianity is much like riding a bike. You're either going forward or backwards, but you can't stand still. Amen? And God wants us to be growing in grace. And I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. We have been given so much more, we found out last week. And of whomsoever much shall be given, of him shall much be required. And we remember, we looked earlier this year in the parable of the talents, that one day, you know what? One day we're going to be called to stand before the Master and give an account for what He had given to us. Can I tell you something? He demands increase. He didn't just give you those things so you could either hide it under a bushel or show off with pride those gifts. He gave it to you so we could win people to Jesus Christ. That's why He gives gifts to the church. Amen. That's not just to edify ourselves, but to edify us that we may go out and win the lost. And He demands increase. And here we find this phrase more and more. Look at verse 10 again. Really, it's found in verse 9, and we're going to look at that. It's talking about brotherly love there. But it says, but we beseech you, verse 10, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Increasing more and more is the opposite of backsliding. Amen, church? It's the opposite of backsliding. It's the opposite of lukewarm Christianity. I said on the internet today, I sent out a message. I said, we're planning on having a warm service, but it's not going to be a lukewarm service. There's enough of that. Amen. I don't want any part of that. Listen, folks, we want to be growing and increasing more and more. You know, and whenever you say something like this, people say, well, Pastor, you know, you got to be careful about burnout. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, there's more people that rust out than burnout. Amen. There's more people that just sit there and they whittle on the stick of do nothing and sit on the stool of do less. We ought to be doing more and more because Jesus is coming. And He's coming soon. What should we be doing more and more? As we get closer and closer, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you keep one eye on your Bible and one eye on the newspaper, I promise you something, that the last 10 years in our country have gone on a rocket sled of immorality. A rocket sled. And listen, I'm not a prophet or the son of the prophet, but I know this, there has never been a time in my short 41 years where it has gotten so wicked so fast. Now, Pastor Donald and I were talking today, and I believe this, there's always the possibility of revival. Always. But I want to tell you this, it's corporate. It starts in an area, in a church, and spreads. This idea of worldwide revival, careful with that. Because you know what I find when I read the end of the book? I find worldwide apostasy with pockets of revival. See, I believe we can have revival in our church. I believe we can have revival in Jackson, and it can spread. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting close. It's getting close to the Lord's return. So what should we be doing more and more? Increasing. Go with me. We're just going to do a quick word study tonight. 4 points on that little phrase, more and more. Go to Psalms chapter 71. Psalms chapter 71. We need some Christians that are not going to be content with just nominal Christianity, but are going to say spiritually, you know what, I want more and more. I'm not talking about covetousness. I'm talking about spiritually saying, I want to be a more and more Christian. Psalms chapter 71. Look at verse 12, please. Psalm 71. It says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my heart. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. The first thing that we ought to be doing more and more is praising. Praising, amen. Do you praise Him more than you used to? I'll tell you what, it's convicting. Because when I first got saved, I'll tell you what, I wanted to praise Him every time I opened my lips. Because I knew what a wretch I was and who God saved and was still so close to all that filth in my life. Every time the pastor said, does anybody have a testimony tonight? Brother Jim almost popped up out of my feet and said, yes, I want to praise God for saving me. Amen. You know how we're not supposed to be praising Him less and less.
That's right.
We're supposed to be praising Him more and more. You say, well, He's already heard it. Listen, folks, Pastor Donald and I were talking about that. You know, a lot of people that are complacent just want that happy medium. They want that middle of the road. You know, my dad taught me the middle of the road is where you get hit by the truck. How about more and more? And if I have to pick a side, I'll say this. More and more to the right, please. Amen. More and more praising. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, they're going to think I'm a radical. It's okay. I'd be much more concerned, more and more concerned about what God thinks about me. And if He said, I will yet praise Thee more and more, I think we're not supposed to be praising Him less. We're supposed to be praising Him more. He's worthy of our praise, and all God's people said. He said there, hey, I'll hope continue in Thee, and I will yet praise Thee more and more. Do you praise Him more today than you did last year? I finished my letter to the church today, and like I said, I've got to just look at it for typos. And Listen, folks, I remember what was going on the first couple months of last year. I know you do too, amen? And it wasn't easy to praise Him. I can tell you this, praise Him more and more. More and more for what He did for us in those days. For what He did for my heart during those days. For how He gave me courage to preach and stand. And more we ought to be praising Him. More and more, amen? Secondly tonight, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Not only we should be praising more and more, I like this one, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter number 4, look at verse number 18, please. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." We should not only be praising more and more, but you know what else we should be doing? We should be shining more and more. Amen. And you know what, folks? It's getting easier to shine. You know why? It's getting darker. It's getting darker. And I'll tell you, the darker it gets, the more a real Christian, whether it be in the office, whether it be in the business world, whether it be in the factory, whether it be in the grocery store, more and more a real Christian will be shining more and more. The problem is, a lot of Christians have their light under a bushel. Never a word for the Lord. Never. I was whistling. I was in Polly's. And listen, you got to be right with God to go to Polly's. Amen. It's just a strange place. And I was whistling. I can't even remember. It was just a spiritual song, something out of our hymnal. And I'm whistling away. And Brother Tim, that was a choir song, amen. I've never been sorry. And I look in front of me, and a young man standing there, and I'm just whistling away. I got getting my gospel track ready, Brother Jim, amen, because you got to be ready. If you don't have one, you can't pass one out, amen. And I'm getting it ready, and a young man in front of me passes out a gospel track to the worker right there in front of me, says, "I'm from Fellowship Baptist Church," and he turns around, he says, "Pastor Rich." And it was Pastor White's son-in-law. He said, "I heard you whistling." You know what? Just shine. Just shine. You know, how do I shine? Just be filled with the Spirit. Just say, you know what? I'm going to shine. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." It's not the time to cover up our light. It's not the time to be less of a public Christian. Come on, church, amen? It's time to be more of a Christian. More and more we should be praising. More and more we should be shining. I love point number 3. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And it's cross-referenced there in Thessalonians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, please. We should be praising more and more. We should be shining more and more. Number 3, Philippians 1:9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more." Over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But as touching brotherly love, you have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren that are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." We should be praising more and more. We should be shining more and more. We should be loving more and more. The darker the world gets, the closer the family of God ought to get. Amen, church. Listen, one of the great things that has been evident to me as your pastor this year is to watch. As we got done with everything, Brother Hauser and I were talking, as we got done with everything around June or July, when everybody that wanted to leave our church left, we started seeing the family of God loving one another. Amen. And that's about when the waters started flowing. Amen. Listen, it's not time to be picking at each other and biting and devouring one another. It's time for us to be loving one another. We're family. We're family. And I'll tell you what, when we love each other, we love God. And when we love God and each other, we love sinners too. And that's what God wants. See, the reason why a lot of churches don't love sinners is they don't even love each other. Why would a sinner want to come in? What did he say in John? Jesus said, "A new commandment I write unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." Earlier this year, we had a time in our church where I felt led of the Lord. I said, "Go around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you love them." That was one of the sweetest services we had all year. I'll tell you why, because we were loving more and more. God wants us to be. God wants us to be loving more and more. God wants us to be praising more and more. God wants us to be shining more and more. And then lastly tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." What should we abounding more and more in, Pastor? Praising, shining, loving, pleasing. Pleasing God. Pleasing God. Am I living my life to please self or to please God? You know what we're supposed to be doing, ladies and gentlemen? Pleasing God. Pleasing God with our... That's not just for missionaries on the foreign field. Amen, church? That's not just for evangelists. That's not just for pastors. Amen. It's that we would be pleasing God more and more. And you read it right here in the text. Just look quickly. What pleases God? I'll tell you what pleases God. Purity pleases God. Verse 3, it says, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Living pure, amen. Staying away from the flesh pleases God. I'll tell you what else pleases God. If you look at verses 5 through 7, look there with me, chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. It talks about there the lust of concupiscence in verse 5. Verse 6 talks about not defrauding in any matter. Verse 7 says, "God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." You know what still pleases God, ladies and gentlemen? Good old-fashioned holiness. Holiness. Talking about holy living. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, still saying, "I'm going to live holy." Holiness. Purity. We already talked about the third one there, verses 8 through 10, and love. You know what else pleases God? Look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4. It says that you study to be quiet and do your own business, to work with your own hands as we command you, that you walk honestly toward them that are without. You may like, you know what still pleases God? Honesty. 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 Pastor Donald and I were talking about that today. You know, pride is the thief of honesty. Because when you honestly come before God, you know what you shouldn't have any of? Pride. But you know, pride says, "I don't need to repent. I'm fine the way I am. I'm just fine. God accepts me." I'd change your tune if I was you. Amen. Sounds like you got a pride problem. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, no room for that. Honesty. Honesty pleases God. I'll tell you what lastly pleases God. Verses 13 through 18, we haven't said much about them. I want to read them. But I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Say, what's the last thing that pleases God? Hope. Hope. See, because when we hope in what God says, we trust God, and that's faith. Amen. So what does He want? What does God want us to be doing more and more? Well, praising. I think we could all do that. Praise Him more. You don't just have to praise Him once or twice a day. You could praise Him all the day long. There's enough in that book for us to just continually praise Him. Not only for what He does in our life, but not only praising, but shining. Just shine that light. Keep that light bright, amen. Keep the dirt off your lens. There's so much you could preach about that. Just shine. Loving. And all God's people said, loving. Where love is thick, faults are thin. We preached on criticism on Sunday. Listen, critical people, listen to me. Critical people. People are always criticizing other people. It's because the love is thin. You get that love thick where you really love somebody, and you know what? The criticism dies down. And then lastly, pleasing. Pleasing Him in purity and holiness and love and honesty and hope. So much the more, much more, and more. Father, thank you.